Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the gospel lesson, the fourth chapter of Matthew. Again, we hear at verse 1, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Friends in Christ, I'm guessing that you wouldn't think drinking a bottle of poison is a good idea. Yet, when you indulge yourself in sinful behavior, that is exactly what you're doing to your heart and soul. Worse yet, as a Christian, when we deliberately choose sin, we're saying the death of Jesus on the cross is no big deal. Ever thought of it that way? The Bible tells us that Jesus himself was tempted, and that's huge. As a man, he was targeted by Satan. Just like you and me, he had choices to make every single day, and the wrong choice, just one, would destroy everything. What I mean is the temptation of Jesus is directly related to his baptism. A number of weeks ago, we looked at a passage in which Jesus said he must be baptized by John to fulfill all righteousness. Simply put, Jesus came to create a perfect record that he could then share with us. We are covered by Jesus' perfect record through baptism. But you see, that's the pressure Jesus was under. One wrong choice, one temptation accepted, and there is no righteousness for anyone. The stakes could not be higher. And by the way, that's why this showdown is placed immediately after Jesus' baptism in the gospel accounts, so that we connect the theme of Jesus' quest for perfect righteousness and the attacks of the devil. Our spiritual well-being is riding on Jesus' ability to choose what is right. Now, a sermon about temptation has the potential to make each one of us squirm in our seats or in the pulpit. It might even make us feel some anger or embarrassment. And that's because we know how bad things are inside. We know the thoughts that we would never share with another soul. We know the things that we have done or left undone, that if people found out about them, that totally changed the way they think of us. We know the differences between the public persona and the private self. We would rather do anything else than be candid about this stuff. However, there's no way around it. We must be brought to the place where we agree with the truly radical statement, "I confess that I am by nature sinful and unclean and deserve temporal and eternal punishment." Thanks be to God, you have someone who values you so much that he says to you, I know that you've bought the devil's lies and that you've got to pay for it with your life. But let me pay for it with my life for yours. I want you to stay with me. That's what Jesus has done for you, for me, for everyone. That's why he allowed himself to be brutally beaten and nailed to a cross to make the payment that would erase your sins from the record. And that's why we see him resisting temptation perfectly. His sacrifice on the cross had to be perfect. And it was. He had to respond to temptation perfectly because I could never do that. Nor could you. He did. And the majesty of the gospel is that it counts for you. Your account has been credited as paid in full in Jesus' name. Trust that Jesus has in fact made this payment on your behalf. Be baptized into his perfection. Then forgiveness and new life is yours. And part of that new life in Jesus is a new perspective on temptation and sin. The Holy Spirit will work to change the way that you think and feel about drinking the poison of sin. In Paul's letter to Titus, he writes, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." A self-controlled, upright, and godly life is something that a Christian will want to pursue if he or she truly understands the gift of grace they've received in Jesus. Now, did you notice that in each case in today's gospel lesson, when the devil tempts Jesus, Jesus responds with words from Holy Scripture? He's able to draw on his knowledge of Scripture to combat the lies of the devil and stand for what is true. Forgive me for stating the obvious, but this is one critical reason all of us need to get into God's Word and study God's Word and know what it says for the purpose of discerning the devil's tempting lies and saying no to them. The stronger we are in the knowledge of God's Word, the more conscious we will be of sin's high price. The stronger we are in the knowledge of God's Word, the better we'll be at living the pattern of repentance and faith in what Christ has done. And the stronger we are in the knowledge of God's Word, the more plugged in we will be to the power of the Holy Spirit who enables us to make godly choices in the heat of the moment. There is a space between the moment something happens and how we respond. Maybe we ought to work to make that space larger so that we can choose better responses. Trusting in Jesus, animated by his Spirit, we can choose to not continue in a conversation that's engaged in gossip. We can choose to not let our temper out of the stall. We can choose to not betray someone or stab them in the back. We can choose to not lie or mess with the truth. We really can say no to the devil's lies. Holy Scripture says so. Through baptism and temptation, death and resurrection, Jesus fulfilled all righteousness. And he did that not to keep the prize to himself, but to share it. Baptized believer, that is exactly what he has done to you. By faith, put on this beautiful garment and fight the good fight. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, you strove with Satan and you won. Your faithfulness endured. Lend us your nerve, your skill, and trust in God's eternal word. Amen.